We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Ray Lynch's Clouds Below Your Knees signals 8 p.m. Thursdays and time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston, Texas that's devoted entirely to storytelling, and it's only on KPFT, Houston's Community Radio. I am your host, Tatiana Gago. They'll be tag-teaming tonight with Maddie Lehnert, who's been a guest on the program before and has joined me tonight to co-host. But this award-winning show wouldn't be possible without the best team on radio. Our producer, Hank Rubicek, Greg Audell, Warren Holloman, Mary Edgerton, Eric Keen, Harwood Taylor, and Chrissy Gorman. Together, we celebrate the power of story each week by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through windows of their souls before returning us safely to the present. Before we start tonight's show, I want you to know our KPFT Fund Drive is running through February 24th. This is when we remind you that we are listener sponsored, which means we need your help to keep this unique program on this station and on the air. So What's Your Story represents the absolute best in community radio. So if you are able to, please go online to kpft.org. Then donations, indicate your form of payment, and then scroll to So What's Your Story as a program you designate to receive your support. Thank you. We're going to build on last week's Valentine's Day program hosted by Dr. Hank by offering stories that center on self-love and a range of love that most of us experience. But unlike last week's compilation of stories, taken mostly from our archives, tonight's stories are hot off the proverbial press. Stories about the balance of love when we find the right one, and narratives about sacrifice, patience, and the variety of love found within the human repertoire. And only a repertoire of extraordinary tellers who can convey that beauty and story about love. And those tellers are Sierra Lawson, Misty Silva, Jason Rivas, and our frequent guest teller, Sneha Desai. Welcome, everyone, to So What's Your Story? How's everyone doing tonight? How are we?
Hi, everyone. Hey.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Love that. Okay, Sierra, let's begin with you. You live in Savannah, Georgia right now. You're pursuing a master's in dramatic writing at the Savannah College of Art and Design. You just wrapped up an internship over the summer in the television unit of Blumhouse Productions. I mean, it's not surprising. You are an avid storyteller. You are a poet. You're a writer. You're a triple threat. And you also plan to move, I know before the show we were talking a little bit, you plan on moving to Los Angeles after? What's going on? Ooh, we're going to see the way this pandemic is looking. I'm not really sure, but that's the initial plan. Knock on wood. Hopefully it happens. Knock on,
absolutely. So you're planning to stay in Atlanta, right?
That's a backup plan. So I'm in Savannah right now. So if I can't get to LA right away, I'll just go on over to ATL and see what's going on.
Okay. Love that. So tell us a little bit about the internship at Blumhouse. It was over the summer, right?
Yeah, over the summer, a little bit into the fall. It was really cool. It was an accident how I got it. Very long story, but it's my dream production company, and it was really cool. It was all virtual, of course, so a lot of coverage, just reading a lot of scripts and meeting a lot of cool people. It was really amazing. I was so sad that it ended, but all good things come to an end.
I want to say I love Blumhouse. I'm like a huge horror movie fanatic. So
me too. Love that. What's your favorite horror movie?
Oh, so Halloween.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Good choice.
Grave Encounters. It's on, I think it's still on Netflix. It's so creepy and crazy. You guys should check it out.
I love everything that's creepy. I mean, nothing scares me anymore.
Right.
I need to find a movie that scares me. And I understand that you might want to write in horror, I'm guessing.
For sure. That is definitely a farther reaching goal of mine. I'm all about drama in my heart of hearts. I love drama, but I want to definitely try my hand at horror. I think it could be really cool.
Well, I'm expecting you to write something that scares me in the future.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt about that. So, Sierra, your story is an intriguing one, especially since it is rather than a love story, but more of a self-love. It's about losing your light. Tell us your story.
Alrighty. Well, I think it's safe to say that soulmates exist, and not just on a romantic level, but friendship-wise as well. Like people who have that excruciatingly annoying habit of knowing you better than you know yourself, like this one person who knows your heart is shattered before you can even fix the sentence to admit it. So I got one of those. Let's call her Lisa. Lisa invited me to her house one summer afternoon, and she has a ton of adorable kids who always want to play outside. So we pulled up some lawn chairs, cracked open two cervezas with lime, and watched them wrestle in the grass. And I have to tell you, it's a strange sort of calm watching young and innocent souls run past cicadas and potholes without an inkling that heartache exists in the world. To be as carefree as a toddler in the summer heat, I can only imagine that kind of peace. And speaking of peace, or lack thereof, by this point, I had been unhappily in love for about 4 years. But had anyone else asked me, I'd say, everything is fine. I couldn't be happier. But soulmates know better than that, because you're kindred in that way or another. They know when you're singing your heart's truth and when you're full of it. And now Lisa is not perfect by any means, but she has a flair for the truth, the ugly truth. And there's not a soul alive I know that can look her in the eye and walk away unscathed. She asks me how things are going with the superhero of a man in my life. And I take a pause. I decided to try my hand at evading her question. I tried twirling my hair or laughing at the kids, anything but to look into those two pools of honey that unmercifully burn through bullshit. I droned on and on for what felt like hours about how everything was fine and I couldn't be. I didn't have a chance to finish that sentence. Somewhere between cracking open another cerveza and stopping her sons from killing each other over a Lego block, she shouted the truth. "You're lying," she said. And time just seemed to stop. The hairs on the back of my neck stood still, and I started to sweat a bit more than usual. And I already felt that pang of moisture starting to gather in the corner of my dry eyes. You know that moment when you want to fix your mouth to lie, just to avert the inevitable, just avoid, avoid, avoid.
But this was it. I was tired of covering up the fact that the man that I love is killing me. And I was letting him because I loved him. It's in your eyes, Sierra. One of the reasons I love you is because you always have this light about you. Every time I see you, it seems to dim lower and lower lately. I let the hot moisture in my eyes glide down my cheeks. Finally, I don't have to hide here, not with her. But I couldn't take being seen so clearly, so accurately. But I had to let it out. I had to come to terms with the fact that my relationship isn't working and I'm losing myself. I was losing the knowledge of the fact that I was funny and I was smart and I was desirable and I was whole once upon a time before him and that I was light once. And Lisa demanded in that moment that I know that I could and would be again. After another cerveza and maybe a cigarette, I told her everything. How he doesn't come home, he doesn't look me in the eye, and if he does, it's like he hates me. And how I ran a cry to him and he blew me off, endless red flags. And she looked at me with that knowing look that says, girl, we've all been there. But here I am still, feet planted and knuckles strained because he's mine and I made promises to him. And although he broke his, I could mend them myself. I could collect the shattered pieces bit by bit and sit at the big empty dinner table and glue the shards back together until my fingers bled, because that's what you do when you love someone, right? That's what love is, isn't it? She said, not if you're sitting there gluing it together by yourself. And I just looked at her, finally understanding, finally seeing how lost I've been. She held my hand as we watched her crazy kids skin their knees and beg for sopapillas. She got up and walked towards the house, and she called back over her shoulder to me. Drop him, girl, so you can get your light back. I miss it. I miss you. Yeah, I thought. I miss me too.
That was amazing. And also, first of all, you go, girl. You know, I feel like most of us can relate to a story like that, where we knew that we had to leave someone who was hurting us, but we just didn't know how. And you all, and we need that push. You know, I think that most of us have had someone who would give us that motivation to let someone toxic go. So Sierra, for excellent job, really good story. What inspired you to want to tell us that story?
Well, I feel like Valentine's Day can be a kind of sad time for some people, and it was for me for a while. For that very scenario, just hanging on to this person because it's comfortable and you know what to expect. And when you're with someone for so long, it's like you kind of almost forget what it is to be on your own and stand on your own two feet. And mm-hmm. I just thought it would be nice to share with people that it's total cool to be alone and by yourself, and it's pretty lit. Like, if you're at peace and you're whole and you're not worried about what's going on where you're not at, like, you know what I mean? It's just all about you and your moment, and self-love is the best love to me. So I thought I should pass that along.
Absolutely. And you know, it's better to be alone than to have bad company. I think all of us can agree on that. Absolutely. And so what is the most single important thing you would want our listeners to take away from the story?
Don't lose yourself in love, really. The purpose of love is not really in another person to find someone to complete you. They should add to you. They should add to the love and light and the positivity that you have in your life. They shouldn't be taking anything away from you. Not to say that every match or partnerships should be perfect, of course not, but it's very easy to unhealthily attach yourself to a person if you don't have what you need already inside and you're trying to find it in someone else. And all that you need is in yourself, truly. It's easier said than done, but you can get there. It's possible.
You preached it. Very good, Sierra. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sierra, guys, for your story. Up next, originally from Singapore, we have Dr. Sneha Desai, who is a practicing psychologist in Houston. Sneha, in your free time, you are a freelance writer. You perform in short films, and you manage your dog's Instagram and TikTok called Coda the Canine Yoda. You are an exceptional storyteller from what I've heard, and I know KPFT always loves having you on the show. So I do want to ask you, what are some of the writing projects that interest you the most?
So I love writing mental health blogs. I have written for magazines and local newspapers. And also, like you said, I manage my dog's Instagram account. So I really put a lot of effort into his captions and I make them funny and kind of appropriate for audiences of all ages. So that does occupy a lot of my time these days.
Yeah, and I know during the pandemic, TikTok is obviously something that we're all kind of obsessed with. And I know that Coda is very popular. And dogs are just wonderful animals. I rescue dogs here and there. And so, you know, we all fall in love with them. But I want to know, what is it that made you fall in love with Coda most of all?
Well, Coda is also a rescue dog, and he is my first dog. I used to be extremely scared of dogs before I got him, so he has definitely been a very healing personality in my life and helped me overcome my phobia, but I just think dogs in general are so loyal and provide unconditional love, which is so healing for everybody.
Okay, Sneha, so your story strikes at the core of every relationship. And honestly, your story has a very powerful message reminding us that not everyone is as honest as we hope for. So please tell us your story.
So I went to school in Dayton, Ohio for 4 years, and my life there was very similar to my current quarantined life, because all that I did was study, engage in roommate drama, work, and then I paid attention to my boyfriend. In no particular order, this is what my priorities were. There was hardly any going out, and I was definitely not having much fun. But eventually, I finished all of my classes, my roommates left, and my boyfriend, who had moved to Houston a year before I could and did, started acting like a bum in our long-distance relationship. And he would hardly call me. When he did, they were very short phone calls. He promised me that he would buy me flight tickets, but he never booked any flights for me to go visit him or for him to visit me. And I was getting a lot of mixed signals. But I knew it in my heart that once I was closer to him, in distance, we would be back to normal. So I started working hard towards that scenario. I applied to several internships in Texas and then some in Florida and California because I just needed to be in a beautiful place after Ohio. And I moved to Houston a couple weeks before Hurricane Ike hit. My boyfriend actually flew down to Dayton and helped drive me all the way to Houston with my stuff, which was very nice of him to do that. And then he welcomed me in his apartment that he shared with his cousin at that time. It was very nice. I would wake up at noon. I would cook meals for him. I would look for apartments and watch TV all day. It was a welcome break from all the studying that I had done for so many years. And things with my boyfriend also started to get better. I felt more secure. And I found an apartment close to work, which was 30 minutes away from his. So I knew that things would definitely start looking up. I was also so excited to start a life without homework and roommates. However, that's when my boyfriend troubles also began again. I barely saw him, even though I was only 30 minutes away. And when I did, he never seemed to want any alone time with me. And he didn't want to address the issue. In fact, he didn't even think that an issue existed. I had started feeling very lonely and confused. So I started acting like a desperate girlfriend, grasping at straws. In one such weak moment, I checked his cell phone, something that I kind of would never do now. But the cell phone kept beeping while he fell asleep on the couch, while we were supposed to be watching TV together. And one of the texts was from a girl who we should call Sarah for this story's purpose. And it said, "Thanks for a great night." And my hands started trembling and I started scrolling through all of the messages. It was filled with conversations with Sarah. And turns out that they had not only been conversing for the past year, but they had also been planning dates, spending nights together, and fooling me. And I instantly felt all the blood rushing to my cheeks. I was filled with shame. I was filled with rage, sadness, all kinds of emotions. I was very emotional. And I spent all night silently weeping because I had nowhere to go. You see, Hurricane Ike had hit. And with no other friends in the city, I was afraid to be by myself at my apartment, which had lost power. And the nightmare of holding my tears, controlling my paranoia, and pretending that I was so in love with him ended when the power returned and I returned to my apartment. It's almost like I also got some power back. And that's when I confronted him. And like a typical coward, he cooked up stories of how she was a damsel in distress and he was simply helping her with some tragedy that had befallen her. I wanted to believe him, but I just couldn't. Not completely, at least. So I started questioning myself, and after what seemed like 100-hour-long conversations with my girlfriends on the phone, I gathered the courage to end it with him. Months passed and I started developing friendships in Houston. I still missed him, but used all that I had within me to not call and tell him that I missed him. I realized how angry I was the day I came home from work to find flowers at my door from him. Instead of gushing, I called him to say I never wanted to hear from him again. It felt good, but I secretly also wished that he would beg for me to return because he had broken things off with Sarah. That remained a fantasy for a long time, for at least 2 years until what I'm about to tell you happened. One day, I needed to make just one quick run to my neighborhood fiesta in preparation for a pool party that I was hosting. I first headed towards the fruit aisle to buy some strawberries. And standing right there next to the strawberries was him. I froze for a few seconds, but I quickly mustered the courage to say hi to him. He seemed startled, mumbled a hi, and quickly pushed his cart into another aisle. It felt so good. It felt good. It was nice to see that I had the ability to make him anxious. Until I saw Sarah. There she was, standing right next to him in the bread aisle. Now it was my turn to push my cart into another aisle and frantically run to the checkout lane. Once I checked out, I heaved a sigh of relief and carried my 3 grocery bags to my car. 2 in my left hand, 1 in my right that was also holding my car keys. The next thing I see from the corner of my eyes is him and Sarah in a car heading straight towards me. She was in the driver's seat. And I kid you not, she tried to run me over. Right there, in public, during daylight. I had to jump out of the way, in the process breaking the salsa jar I had just purchased, to save myself from losing a limb that day. And it was in that moment, that one moment, that I realized and 100% believed that he was a huge jerk, as was she. But I think he won the trophy for allowing her to do that. In case you want to know, it's been 9 years since the incident. The last I heard about him was that he married Sarah and has a daughter with her. Now, my hope is that his daughter teaches him to treat women better.
Wow, Sneha. I really hope his daughter can show him that as well. I hope that maybe she can talk some sense into him, but I also am very happy for you of realizing your self-empowerment and your worth, and thank you for sharing your story. What made you want to tell this story in particular?
You know, I think just like Sierra said earlier, Valentine's Day is a very difficult time for people, especially those who've recently broken up or are single and still mourning their previous relationships, even though it's been a long time since they broke up with them. And I just wanted to share the story to let people know that when you have an ex, they are an ex for a reason. So don't get fixated on what could be and what really was the positive experiences. Remember why you broke up and hold on to that knowledge when you choose future relationships.
Okay, Sneha. And I do want to ask you, what is one piece of advice that you could give to anyone that's experienced the same thing?
Well, I think that I saw so many red flags along the way, but I kept giving him so many chances. And what I would like to tell other people, men and women, is that when you do see red flags in your relationship, address them early on, because it could eventually lead to the demise of your relationship and you will be very wounded by the time that happens. So address it when you see it. And if you cannot resolve those issues, walk out.
All right, Sneha, thank you for your story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And this is Maddie Lehner, and you are listening to our guest storytellers, Sierra Lawson, Sneha Desai, Misty Silva, and Jason Rivas on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT Houston's Community Radio, 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. So What's Your Story is an enviable spot hovered between Wally James and the Progressive Forum and Lars and the Tennyson tape deck. But what we got here, you asked for it, and we wanted to be available for you in prime time. And when Dr. Hank began this program in 2008, it was a monthly installment. But you guys said once a month isn't enough. We listened to you, and you supported us so generously. But now, in a time of financial hardship, we know that not everyone has the means to help. So we only ask of those who can donate. And whether you can donate or not, we ask that you tune in every week to this program, the program that you made possible with your spirit and your generous souls. To our returning guest, I want to ask you guys, what does So What's Your Story mean to you?
I think what it means to me is, by the way, this is Jason, and it's given me a platform to share my past struggles and attempts at finding success to other folks that are going through similar struggles. In my story, I talked about being a high school dropout who worked 10, 11 hours a day at night, go to school in the morning, sleep 5 hours a day, repeat for a couple of years like that. And I wanted to share that story because I know there's other people in the world that are going through similar struggles, and I want them to know that this is possible. These struggles will manifest into success. Don't give up on yourself. You are worth it.
And Sierra?
I'm so nostalgic thinking about the first time I came, and I had no idea what to expect, but it was an amazing experience. And I just love, I love talking, and I love hearing people's stories that you genuinely never know what a person has been through looking at them. And so I genuinely appreciate anyone with the strength to bare their soul and tell their story in the hope of somebody else hearing it and it resonating and, you know, making it feel like your existence is genuinely validated in that way. So I'm so appreciative to be here, and I just love what you guys are doing, and I thank you so much for having me again.
And Sneha, what about you?
I feel like a validation is so important to people, and so What's Your Story gives us an opportunity, us the storytellers, to give an opportunity to people to hear our stories and to feel like they have a community even without meeting us or even directly talking to us. So I think that's a very beautiful thing that the show is doing for people.
All right. And Misty, don't worry. We haven't forgotten about you. I know you're our first timer, so we're about to hear your story. So let's hear now about how much Tatiana loves So What's Your Story, and tell us about what's going on in the storytelling community.
Thank you, Maddie. Are you having fun? How does it feel like being a co-host?
I'm very nervous, but it's cool.
No, you're doing a fantastic job. Amazing. So let me tell you, everyone, about So What's Your Story and how KPFT has meant to me. I learned so much being on this program, and I wish I could find the right words to describe how I feel, but it's hard. Being part of KPFT's community radio these past 4 years has led me to experience and listen to intimate, vulnerable, and captivating stories. I learned about strangers on who they are through their stories, and not only of who they are, but also on who they once were and who they want to be. KPFT has established an environment to allow people to create. I remember seeing a poster at the studio a few years back, and it said, as long as I can communicate, I can create. And as long as I can create, I am free. Thank you for the listeners who have kept supporting us. And thank you to the new members coming our way. Welcome home. And let me tell you what else is great. Developing your storytelling skills by becoming a member of our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. They meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. with the next swap scheduled for Tuesday, February 23rd. Visit the Guild's website at www.HoustonStorytellers.org for the Zoom link. And while you're on the site, why not enjoy some of our past So What's Your Story programs, all of them since 2008, listed on the menu under radio program. And a quick reminder, So What's Your Story is a Houston original and the first storytelling platform in town. Currently, we're about the only place in town to bring you the art of storytelling. So why not make it a habit to tune in every week, like so many of you already do? No radio? No problem, because you can listen to us live on kpft.org. Also, get to know us by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and be sure to share it with your friends. And we'd love it if you'd like us when you leave. Got program ideas? Guests? Maybe yourself? Let us know by dropping us a note at story@kpft.org, and we promise to get back to you. Our friends at the Moth may not be packing into Warehouse Live, but they are alive and well. So join them on their Facebook page and enjoy their collection on themoth.org. And for anyone wanting to take their storytelling skills to the next level, why not become a member of Tejas Storytelling Association and the National Storytelling Network? Houston's community radio is KPFT. It's a place with the most eclectic series of programs on the dial. KPFT, which is an affiliate of the Pacifica Radio, is an icon for freedom of expression, a practice we can't afford to lose on the air. So if you can, please reach out to us on www.kpft.org with your donations. We'd love it if you consider becoming a sustaining member of KPFT for just $5 per month. Becoming a member of Houston's Community Radio buys you the pride that comes with listener sponsorship. All right, and we have our next teller, Misty Silva, all the way from Tillamook, Oregon. Her stories travel with her. Her adventurous personality has led her to visit 15 states and 4 different countries. So, Misty, I gotta know, what's been the most favorite destination for you?
So far, it's hard to choose, but I have to say Israel. I had a lot of adventures over there with one of my friends. I got to experience hitchhiking for the first time, and that was fun and scary at the same time.
Very nice. But next time, we'll have you come on to tell some more of those stories, some more of your traveling stories. And I know you also study community health promotion and human lactation at Portland State University. You've applied what you've learned at your job at Latino Network, which is a nonprofit organization that serves the Latino community. So tell us, how have you applied what you've learned at school with your job?
Well, I switched majors a couple times, but once I finally stuck to this one, I knew from the beginning I wanted to go to school with the mindset of helping people. And that's exactly what I'm doing right now with my current job as a community health worker. I'm assisting numerous amounts of people through this worldwide pandemic with a focus on the Latinx community.
That's awesome. Very nice. And I want our listeners to know that you're a fan of this program. I mean, at least I hope you are. How does it feel to be a guest now? I remember a few years ago, you were at the studio, you were watching all the other guest tellers, watching others host, but now it's your time to tell a story. How does that feel?
Yep, I never thought I would be the one that I'm here now. I'm a little bit nervous. I mean, just watching you being the host and now I'm here, but I'm excited and really happy to have this opportunity to be here.
That's awesome. And I know you're going to do great because, Misty, your story is also about self-love and it's also about healing. Your story beautifully describes that connection. So tell us your story.
In order to find self-love, I needed to experience love first. For the sake of the story, we'll call my first love Ralph. Without Ralph and all the damage that my heart has dealt with, I would not be the strong woman that I am today. And with that being said, I know that I can share my story now. In the course of 10 years, I constantly felt overwhelmed, feeling like I didn't know if this was true love. Throughout the years, he became more controlling and would hurt my feelings a lot with his words. I felt inferior to him. And towards what became the end of that relationship, my feelings changed. I knew I deserved better, but it almost felt impossible to let go of that one person who I had held on so tightly. I depended on him for so long, I didn't know what my life would be without him. I would try to communicate with Ralph. I tried sharing my feelings. I tried to be vulnerable with him, but rather than listening to me, he dismissed and belittled my emotions. Eventually, my feelings toward him started fading, and it felt more like an unbearable chore than a loving relationship. In 2017, I was working at the Houston Rodeo, and I befriended this guy who was also working at the same booth as me. And I would have never imagined how much he would impact my life. Let's call him Ronan. After talking to him for some time, I realized I had forgotten a side of me that was suppressed by so much pain. His friendship reminded me that I shouldn't feel guilty of wanting to feel happy, that it's okay to socialize with others and have a friend of the opposite gender. We had an instant connection from the moment we met and felt like we had been friends for so many years. Looking back on these memories with him, they may be bittersweet, but I still smile about it, and I'm smiling about it right now. And as this friendship evolved, I developed feelings I hadn't felt in a long time. I felt happy, really happy. I felt like I could be myself around this guy. I felt free. Since I became more in touch with my feelings, the urge to not be with Ralph grew more and more every day. One day while I was at work, I felt something within me that told me, Missy, you're ready. It's time to let Ralph go. And guess what? That's exactly what I did. I picked up the phone and ended our relationship. After so many years of putting my feelings aside, depending on this guy, this one person, feeling that I was being controlled by him, I finally made the decision for myself to choose happiness. Later that week, I felt fine. I felt more happy than ever and relieved. Well, 3 weeks later, Ronan invited me to a basketball game at the Toyota Arena. And when he could have gone with one of his friends, instead he wanted to go with me, a girl he had just met about 3 weeks ago. And even though I didn't want to label it as such, this was my first date in over 10 years. I was so nervous, as I'm feeling a little bit now, not knowing what to wear or if I should even go at all. But all he wanted was for us to have a great time together. Even though Ralph was no longer part of my life, I still felt he was controlling me in some way. I became so stressed with so many emotions all at once, and all I wanted to do in those instances was talk to my best friend and cry it out. After so many years of emotional pain, I hoped in some magical way this feeling would go away. It was a constant battle with myself, trying so hard not to compare Ronan with my ex. After going out with this guy for some time, I noticed he wanted to get more romantically involved, and I wasn't ready after a 10-year relationship. Even though I wasn't in love with my ex anymore, I still thought about him and so much compared Ronan to him. I felt so confused why he was so nice to me. And even after he told me multiple times that he just wanted to make me feel special because he cared about me, he wasn't the type of person to question me about little things like why I didn't text back right away or why I was wearing a certain outfit or tracking my every move. But really, when I was thinking, what did this guy even see in me? This guy was so genuine. He was kind, humble. All he wanted was to be with me. And I realized again, I wasn't ready for that again. I had to love myself before I can jump into something like that again. And even though I had feelings for him, I wish I had the emotional availability. Before I could love another man, I realized I had to love myself first. I felt like I needed a fresh start. I wanted to heal. I wanted to find myself. I needed to escape Houston. So I packed all of my belongings in my little white Nissan and drove off to Tillamook, Oregon. I chose this place because I wanted to get away from the noisy city. And this is the place I would come to if I ever broke up with Ralph. And this is where I am today. 3 years later, I'm still here. Yes, it did hurt what was once my home and that I ran away from this guy that made me feel so special and loved in such a short time. But it was something I needed to do for myself. Even though things ended the way they did, we still keep in touch. and he will forever still have that special place in my heart. And it has taken so much effort to mentally get out of this toxic situation I had allowed myself to be involved in. I needed to get away from everything and everyone, to be on my own and to physically be closer to nature. That's something I was longing for. I wanted to be lost in my own thoughts with no unnecessary distractions. I needed to clear my thoughts and what I truly wanted for my future. Letting my heart heal was my main priority. Letting go of the pain was what I needed because I wanted to be confident with who I am as a person. And I owe this to myself and no one else to be fully happy. Being here in Oregon has helped me only focus on myself. Within time, I'll see when I'm ready to allow someone special into my currently healing heart again. But for the time being, I'm learning to love myself.
Very good. That was an amazing story, Misty. Thank you. So tell us, what motivated you to tell us that story?
Oh my goodness. To be completely honest, I was a little tipsy at the time. And it's a story so close to my heart. It's been a long process of learning and relearning, so why not share it?
And what have you discovered about yourself since living in Oregon?
Oregon has definitely helped me realize that I'm brave. I'm capable of doing all these things on my own that I didn't think I could do. I've learned to take care of myself, doing the smallest things that make me happy, like going on random road trips, taking myself on a nice brunch, or hiking a rock, or discovering a new hike.
Thank you for sharing that story, Missy. Really good job.
Misty, not bad for a first timer. I gotta give it to you. But our final storyteller is a returning guest, Jason Rivas. He recently earned a master's degree in public history from Texas State University. You work as a public sector historian. So Jason, please give us a description of your job. What do you do?
Well, I like to research various historic properties or areas to determine their significance to our society, to see how we could possibly preserve them or how we could possibly mitigate any sort of situations from construction projects. Every story deserves an opportunity to be told. Every story deserves an opportunity to be preserved. I believe history is told from the bottom up, and that is what I try to do my best as a public sector historian.
All right, Jason. So I do have a fun fact about you that I want to share. I know that you got third place in fourth grade of sack race racing at Diane Winberg Elementary. And to this day, I know it's your greatest accomplishment. But I do know that you have another great accomplishment coming up. And that is your story, which is the story about the very essence of love, the ultimate decision fueled by confidence and conviction. Is she the one, Jason? Tell us your story.
When one thinks about love and happily ever after, what does one think that means? Marriage. It's a three-syllable word of extraordinary meaning for many. It represents the official union of two becoming one. The word's existence goes back to the days of Mesopotamia, if not further. Kingdoms and political alliances were created from the word. Religious authorities have influenced the weight of the word. People have fought and died for the right to marry their significant others, evolving the traditional meaning of the word into one that's modern and inclusive. Marriage is an important institution in society then, now, and tomorrow. And for the longest, I just didn't give a bleep about it. Why? Personal reasons, really. I grew up in a society that celebrates the institution while also making a mockery of it. There are countless stories on the news every day of self-righteous individuals who chastise marriages for all couples in the name of religious sanctity, despite their multiple affairs and failed marriages. My parents' own failed marriage helped influence my thoughts. My father cheated multiple times and lied about it multiple times. He has since apologized, but the actions of the past, they do wonders on people's thoughts. And it influenced mine to the point of, what's the point in marriage? That's what I thought. I didn't believe I needed a title to showcase my love for someone. I wanted to find the love of my life without worrying about fulfilling what life dictates, so to speak. But my own failures in dating further influenced my negative mindset towards marriage. My last relationship ended with me getting dumped on my mom's birthday, 4 days before my undergrad graduation. That relationship failed because both myself and my significant other at the time failed to communicate. Side note for all the fellas listening, if your relationship fails, don't be a sleaze about it. Relationships are a two-way street. If it fails, don't automatically put the blame entirely on your ex. Chances are you had a hand in its failure too. Own it, learn from it, and do better. I wish I had known that piece of advice when I was going through my breakups, but I was acting like a sleaze then, but I'm a grown-up now. All right, back to my story. Needless to say, I was in a deep depression at the time. I drank. I isolated myself from my friends and family. I hurt myself. I'll leave it at that. In hindsight, yeah, I deserve to be dumped. But it probably should have happened in a better, different time. During my Lost in the Wilderness period, I went on a camping trip with my friends from my History Honor Society. Side note, there's nothing cooler in this world than camping with history nerds, because the conversations are always going to be great. Like, which president do you think would win in a boxing match against who? What irreverent holiday is your favorite? Personally, mine is Leif Erikson Day. Courtney was one of the campers. We met through the History Honor Society and got to know each other during the trip. We actually bonded over Hamilton, the musical. Fantastic. Everyone should listen to it. Afterwards, I couldn't go 2 days without talking to her. I make up any excuse possible to message her. You know, stuff like, what's your favorite historical movie and why is it Titanic? For me, it's because my heart will always go on. Time passed and I grew the courage to ask her out. And for some strange reason that I'll never understand, she said yes to this old dog. By the way, I say I'm old because I'm probably the only one on this radio show that was alive during the Cold War. And let me assure you, it was cold. We started dating and fell in love, to the point where a day without her is a day without light. She became my day, my night, my love. Naturally, marriage would eventually come up. I was hesitant about the prospect because of my reservations for marriage, my fears of another failed relationship, but I never met someone like Courtney. She was my missing rib, the Linda to my Paul McCartney. If I was Trump, she'd be impeachment because I can't see my life without her. But I needed a push, something to make me realize that she's the one. I got that push when I was out on a lunch date with a friend of mine. To protect Lauren's identity, we'll give her an alias. Lauren, yeah, we'll go with that one. So anyways, we're out for lunch, and she asked me about marriage. I jump on my soapbox and wave my bloody shirt, spouting my thoughts and feelings about it. And she listened, acknowledged my thoughts, then looked me in the eye and said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not about believing in marriage, the word. It's about believing in her. Do you believe in her? And that's when I realized that I do. Because her love was genuine through the lowest of my lows and supportive during my high water marks. She believed in me, a man previously broken from past failures. She believed in me enough to invest 3 years into a guy that's honestly just making up life as he went. That's actually why I bought a planner 2 weeks ago. Now I can plan out what I'm making up. She loves me, and I love her. So much so that I surprised her with a proposal at the Griffith Observatory in L.A. It was inspired by one of her favorite movies, La La Land, which is ironic because it ends in heartbreak. But I decided to take that leap and take that chance because I don't necessarily believe in the institution of marriage or the word, but I do believe in her. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
Jason, can I be the flower girl?
You're going to have to fight my dog.
I'll be the flower girl and the rain bearer.
Well, you're going to have to fight the other dog. We're going to...
So you have several messages in this story, but I do want to ask you, what's one most important takeaway that you have from it?
Communication. Communication between your significant other and communication with yourself. Sometimes we're so blinded by our own beliefs that we become null and ignorant to the wishes of our significant other. That's why all my relationships have failed, because I failed to communicate with myself as well as them. But I learned with Courtney, she's a great teacher, how to communicate with both her and myself.
Thank you, Jason. Communication is key. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who listened tonight. Thank you, everyone who let me be a part of this hosting thing. I had a really good time. Thank you, Sierra Lawson, Sneha Desai, Misty Silva, and Jason Rivas for sharing your stories of love and self-love. Stay put, because Lars is up next with a sweet mix of songwriters on the Tennyson tape deck. And make sure you make KPFT, Houston's Community Radio, part of your Thursday. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. for What's Your Story? And treasure what you hear. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This is Maddie Lehnert from Tatiana Gago, and along with the rest of So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
It's time for the Dove to retire and time for a brand new look for KPFT. KPFT needs a new logo, and we want you in the KPFT community to design it for Houston's community station. We're putting on a logo design contest and asking you to submit your ideas for a new logo for KPFT. All the info you need, including contest rules, a website for uploading your submissions, can be found at kpft.org. We'll be accepting logo design submissions through March 1st. And then the funnest part begins. Starting at 12:01 p.m. on March 1st, the community gets to vote on their favorite designs. Voting ends at 11:59 on March 5th. The top five vote getters will constitute the pool of designs from which the winner will be chosen, and the winning design and designer will be revealed on the air and on the internet March 8th. Visit kpft.org for all the details. We